All right. Since this one is for the fucking kids, let me do the right thing and tell you all that there are some goddamn triggers in this episode. The topic of death, particularly the death of a child, even though he is fictional, is brought up, and suicide is also mentioned. I don't know what happened to John's Halloween episode, but I saw he didn't have one out there, so I whipped this one up quick. I apologize in advance for its quality. And now, on with the show. Welcome. Please accept my invitation to join me as I ask you, what do you think about... Hey, listeners. What do you think about ghosts? Do you think this is a topic appropriate for discussion with children? Should we shield our children from death and scary things and all that kind of stuff? Okay, now let's combine the two topics of ghosts and shielding children from unpleasant things into one question, which will be the basis for this podcast. What do you think about the identity of Casper the Friendly Ghost? In a Letters to the Editor section of the National Lampoon magazine from sometime in 1982 or 1983, there was a letter that posed a query along these lines. Dear editor, who was Casper the Friendly Ghost when he was alive? I know he wasn't me. Signed, the Lindbergh Baby. Personally, I found, and still find, this hilarious. Sue me. The question has popped up in my mind over the years, and I'm going to address it here. The genesis of the physical, concrete idea of Casper took place in the late 1930s. He was originally supposed to be the protagonist of a children's book. Seymour Wright came up with the concept of the child ghost. Joe Oriolo drew up the illustrations for the book. Unfortunately for Wright, however, while he was serving in World War II, Oriolo sold the rights for their proposed book to Paramount Pictures' famous studios animation division. Oriolo received a total of $175. However, according to Wikipedia, this one-time payment was all that he received, missing out on a share of the revenue earned from the films, comic books, and merchandise to come. So eat that, motherfucker, for backdooring your partner. Unless, of course, said backdooring is consensual, then have at it. Now, onto the origin of the actual Casper. Okay, I'm not saying that he was an actual living or dead ghost, but I mean the biography of the character as he lived it on the screen. Unfortunately for my episode topic, we really don't know much of anything about Casper's pre-phantasmic life, nor are we given conclusive evidence as to the circumstances of his quietus. I'm okay with that, because while many cartoons were made to entertain adult cinema audiences, children were in the audience too. So, just in case Casper's expiration was horribly gruesome, it's potentially a good thing that it was not revealed. I will say, in the 1995 film entitled Casper, directed by Brad Silberling, the youngster died of pneumonia that he had contracted after playing outside in the winter cold for too long. I don't know if that version is Casper canon, because the 1997 film, Casper, A Spirited Beginning, neglected to depict or explain his death. Starting in the 1960s, Harvey Comics tried to claim that Casper never died. They posited that ghosts were not the undead spirits of once living beings. Rather, they were their own class of creatures, similar to goblins and other creatures of the dark. They even went as far as to say that they were born of ghost parents. Casper's parents first appeared in, as far as I could see, 1951's Boohoo Baby feature. His mother again materialized in the 1955 cartoon Hide and Shriek. She reprised her role in the 1959 short Casper's Birthday Party. Casper's father also put in an appearance in Casper's Birthday Party. Casper was also occasionally shown as living with three uncles who were known as the Ghostly Trio. But I don't know if these were real blood or maybe make that ectoplasmic relatives of Casper. It could be that the term uncle was just a term of endearment in this instance. Personally, for what it's worth, I think the story of Casper's being the offspring of two married ghosts is a load of crap. Which reminds me, why were the ghost cerements brown? Because he sheet himself. Be that as it may, this is why I think it's a load of crap. In the 1945 cartoon, The Friendly Ghost, the first Casper short, it is stated that every night at the stroke of 12, his brothers and sisters scampered out joyously to frighten the folk of the neighborhood. Then the cartoon goes on to show no fewer than 12 ghosts appear out of dust covers, sheets, pillow slips, and the like. All these phantoms then fly out into the night, abandoning Casper in their home. There is no mention of parents, a mother, or a father. Just, quote, brothers and sisters. So again, I am tempted to think that this was just a term of endearment for the conglomerate of specters dwelling alongside Casper. Incidentally, at one point in this cartoon, Casper does attempt suicide, lying down on a railroad track as the train comes barreling down. This illustrates that he does have a concept of death, and that death is a reality in his universe. The 1948 offering entitled There's Good Booze Tonight seems to illustrate the fact that Casper is a dyed-in-the-wool, 100% afterlife-based variety of ghost. At the story's beginning, Casper is seen sitting on a grave reading the Bible by candlelight. I will grant that there is no name or birth or death dates inscribed on the tombstone, but one is led to believe that this is Casper's grave because, as the cemetery's other spectral inhabitants appear, they rise out of various graves. Now, whose graves but their own would these ghosts be inhabiting? Ipso facto, the grave at which Casper has stationed himself must be his own. And no other ghost has risen from it, so there's obviously no one else in there. This cartoon goes on to establish on screen that resurrection from death as a spirit is possible and does take place, as exemplified by the death of Ferdy, a young fox Casper has befriended. The kit is either run to death by a fox hunter and his pack of hounds, or falls victim to the hunter's gunshots. They don't show the actual reason on screen. They just leave an implication. A decimated Casper retrieves the corpse and buries it in a grave beside his own, complete with a tombstone that bears the name Ferdy. As Casper weeps in sorrow, the ghost of the fox rises from the grave and scampers to Casper, who is then overcome with joy. 1951's Taboo or Not Taboo opens with a cemetery scene and draws in on Casper, again reading a book by candlelight at his grave. This time, however, Casper's name, sans birth and death dates, is etched upon the tombstone. So he's dead and buried. He's not some cute little goblinoid creature with supernatural parents. Before we continue, let's pause for a minute for a word about Anchor Podcasting. And we're back. So, we've established that Casper is not the Lindbergh baby, by the Lindbergh baby's own admission. But there is one fairly recent theory concerning his pre-death identity, and that was voiced by Bart and Lisa Simpson back in 1991 in the Simpsons episode, Three Men and a Comic Book. In that episode, Bart and Lisa speculate that Casper is actually the ghost of Richie Rich, another Harvey Comics icon. Lisa posits Richie Rich committed suicide once he came to realize how hollow the pursuit of money really is. Just a note here, other speculators who share the belief in a Casper/Richie Rich connection have put forth the notion that perhaps Richie was murdered by his parents for insurance money. The resultant ghost of his death is Casper. While there are some superficial resemblances between the two, such as bulbous heads, similar large ovoid eyes, thick short legs, Richie Rich is not a viable candidate for the pre-death identity of Casper. Richie Rich wasn't created until 1953, while Casper, as you might recall if you were paying attention earlier, was created approximately 14 years earlier during the late 1930s. Whomever he was in life, in death, Casper is an apostate. Whether it was his pre-death nature or an ideal that came about after his passing, Casper refuses to conform to the ghostly tradition of terrorizing the living. His goal in life is to become a friend to every man, woman, and child and animal that he meets. And he's really glad to meet you when he does so. He's also quite tenacious, bearing the ridicule of his spectral peers with an unwavering commitment to his own conviction. So, though they're covered and hidden by his cerements, Casper obviously has some balls. Casper is not the only ghost geared towards a juvenile audience. Back when I was a kid, there was Georgie the Ghost, created by Robert Bright. Presumably, based on the spook's stature, he was the apparition of a child. Georgie lived in the attic of Mr. and Mrs. Whitaker's home. Every evening, on a regular schedule, Georgie would give a loose board on the staircase a creak, and the door to the parlor a squeak, both of which served as a message to the Whitakers that it was bedtime. Eventually, Bright published several installments of the Georgie series, starting in 1944 and ending in 1983, 14 Georgie books in all. Since these came out after the publication of the Casper children's books, it does seem possible that Casper served as an inspiration for Georgie. Similar to Casper, I don't recall that we ever learned the living identity of Georgie. So that's all I have. Sorry, short and sweet. Nothing extra tacked on at the ass end after this. Apologize again. But now that you've made it to the end, what did all this teach you about the pre-spectral identity of Casper the Friendly Ghost? Well, the answer to that is absolutely bupkis. Well, maybe not exactly, Bupkis, because you should have learned that, one, Casper is a deceased human being, despite that horseshit Harvey Toons tried to spread. Two, he is not Richie Rich or Charles Lindbergh III. And three, Casper is an individual who believes in and lives by, or maybe that's deaths by, his beliefs. Other than that, you just wasted some of your time. This has been What Do You Think About? Our theme music, In Suspense, is provided by PodSummit.com. Thanks to all you listeners. Please take the time to rate our podcast on your favorite listening platform if it allows you to do so. Kind of mock sneaks now that we're winding down to the end, though, huh? Email us at wdouta@gmail.com. If you have any requests before the end comes in, maybe we'll squeeze them in. You can also leave us a voice message at the website anchor.fm/WDOUTA. Or if you fucking care to do so, visit our Facebook page, anchor.fm/WDOUTA, for updates on the few remaining releases. Copyright 2022 by John Gordos and Jim Duker.